Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Those who are Christians are called to a new and living way. It is a way of life that is different from the world in a number of very important aspects. It is not just a new or different way of life, but a better way of life. It is a way of life that puts the Lord and His kingdom first in our daily conduct and that manifests itself in observable ways. One of the ways in which we demonstrate that we are walking in a new and living way is in the matter of our worship to God. For a few moments today, we will study the Scriptures with a view toward making our worship consistent with the new and living way to which we who are Christians have been called. One of the truths of Scripture that we perhaps do not emphasize enough is that we as human beings were made to worship God. We are called by Him to offer up praise and devotion for who He is and for what He has done for us. The English word worship has several meanings, but in reference to deity, it means to show reverence or devotion, and it refers to any action taken on one's part to express these things. Thus, we may correctly refer to a Sunday morning assembly in which our primary purpose is to show reverence and devotion to God, as a worship assembly. At the same time, however, we may and do worship God in other contexts that are not as strictly speaking a worship assembly. For example, when Israel was about to die, he called Joseph and made him swear to bury him in Canaan in the cave that Abraham had purchased to bury Sarah. In Genesis 47 and verse 31, when Joseph swore that he would do so, the Scripture says, "Then Israel bowed in worship at the head of the bed." The words "in worship" are not in the original language of this text, but are supplied by the translators in order to convey the full meaning of what Israel did. We may be certain that this is the correct meaning because Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21 makes reference to this event and clearly says that Israel worshiped on that occasion. But what did Israel do that constituted worship? Well, according to the Scripture, he bowed his head. That's what Genesis 47 and verse 31 says. And very likely, as he bowed his head, Israel acknowledged God and thanked him in humble prayer for the blessing that God had provided, and for Joseph his son, who would see to his burial in the land of his fathers. In this example, worship was informal and personal, and very likely brief. By bowing his head in acknowledgement of God, Israel offered worship that was acceptable to God, and as fully worship as when his entire family was gathered to make sacrifices to the Lord. There are some who have tried to make the case that everything we do as Christians constitutes worship to God. The major flaw in this idea is that it so dilutes the principle of worship as to make it virtually meaningless. If everything we do is worship, then it cheapens the times when we gather as a congregation to worship God. Taking out the garbage, or mowing the lawn, or washing the dishes becomes equal to communing on the Lord's Day, or studying God's Word, or giving of our means. What this view also promotes is the idea that there are no restrictions or guidelines as to how we are to worship. Nowhere in the Scriptures is there any indication that all of life is worship. On the contrary, in both the Old and the New Testaments, worship is a very precise thing that is very carefully directed by God's commands. It is also something that God accepts only on His terms. Thus, when improper worship is offered, it is rejected by Him, oftentimes in the Scriptures with tragic results for the worshipers. Worshiping God as His Word directs is a demonstration that we are conducting ourselves in a new and living way. Now, the fact that God requires mankind to worship as He directs us is well documented in the Scriptures. The earliest example is of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Each man brought his offering to God, and Abel's was accepted but Cain's was not. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we learn that Abel's sacrifice was accepted because it was offered by faith. This is an indication of the state of Abel's heart as he worshiped God. What this tells us is that from the beginning, acceptable worship has always been about more than just proper form. Proper form is important, of course, as the incident with Nadab and Abihu illustrates in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. You see, they offered fire in worship to God that he had not authorized them to use, and they were consumed by fire from heaven because of it. They had substituted fire of their own choosing and paid the penalty for doing so. This principle was reiterated by Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9, when he condemned the Pharisees and scribes for transgressing God's commands by instituting their traditions and the precepts of men as doctrines in place of God's commands. In both of these examples, those who substituted their own form of worship in place of what God commanded committed the same sin. They failed to treat God as holy. In Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3, Moses reminded Aaron that God said, "By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored." In the context of Nadab and Abihu's sin, honoring God and treating him as holy meant offering worship to him in accordance with what he commanded. The same is also true of the sin of the Pharisees and scribes, whose worship Jesus called vain. They dishonored God by teaching their own precepts and traditions rather than obeying his commands. Therefore, they did not treat God as holy. As this principle applies to the new and living way, it is the way of the world to worship God according to the desires of men rather than according to God's will. Thus, adding instrumental music to the worship in order to appeal to the preferences of the world, and by the way, this is something that God's word does not authorize, this dishonors God, and it fails to treat him as holy. Failing to observe the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis, or observing it as part of a common meal, likewise dishonors God. Preaching something other than the whole purpose of God also dishonors him, as does failing to bring him an appropriate offering each Lord's Day, or praying from a wicked or insincere heart. Those who are in the new and living way will offer worship to God in accordance with the direction of his word. They will neither add to it nor take away from it. But this is not all that characterizes the new and living way. Those who are in the world are characterized by worship that is self-directed and self-serving. They are also marked by worship that is perfunctory, that is, it is little more than a checklist of items they perform by rote in order to satisfy what they see as their obligations. Like Abel, who by faith offered a better sacrifice than Cain, we are called to offer more than a simple adherence to proper forms. We are called upon to worship from the heart. As Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24, he said, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, in practical application, this means that we must live up to a higher standard as we worship God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Peter suggested the nature of that higher standard. He said, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." There are several factors in this brief statement that indicate the new and living way to which we have been called. First, we are living stones who serve God, who is himself a living stone and the cornerstone. To be a living stone indicates that we are to be constantly growing and developing on a personal basis. It also means that we are contributing to the growth and development of the spiritual house of which we are a part. This means that by our living in a local congregation of God's people, we help to make it a better and stronger part of the body at large. In the same way that a dead part of a human body harms that body, if we do not act like living stones, the church is going to suffer. Secondly, as living stones, we are a holy priesthood before God. Every person who is a Christian is a priest of God, and as such, has the privilege and the responsibility of coming before Him to offer worship to Him. Under the law of Moses, the tribe of Levi was designated as the one from whom the priest would come. They were thus separated from the rest of Israel for the Lord's service. In Christ, those who have been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins are separated from the rest of the world for His service. Our primary purpose, then, is to offer acceptable worship to the Lord and to teach others to do the same. God was very particular about the conduct of His priests under the law of Moses, as shown by the incident with Nadab and Abihu. How much more so the priests who serve in the kingdom of His Son. Third, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. The priests of the Mosaic Law offered various physical sacrifices to God in the performance of their worship to Him. We who are Christians are called to make spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, this does not mean that we do not physically sacrifice some things as we serve God. Rather, it means that we sacrifice to Him from within a sincere heart that is intent on giving to the Lord that part of us that will live forever. Spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ are the attitudes of heart by which we place God first in everything we do in life. It means that we will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. It means that within our hearts we allow the Lord to have first place in everything as the head of the body, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. This does not mean, however, as some suggest, that a sincere heart somehow trumps obedience to the Lord's commands. Rather, if one truly has put the Lord first in his life, he will offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord. His worship will be in spirit and truth, which means that it will not only be sincere, but it will also be correct as to its form. If we conduct ourselves according to the new and living way, our hearts are going to be right with God, and our actions will naturally follow in obedience to His Word. This is, in fact, the new and living way. And when we act in this way, we will treat God as holy in all that we do, and we will honor Him before the world, and our worship will be acceptable to Him. Those who are Christians are called to a new and living way that marks them as living stones, a holy priesthood that offers acceptable spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. To offer that which pleases ourselves or which appeals to those who are still outside of Christ is the way of the world. If we desire a reward in heaven at the end of time, we will not follow the world, but we will worship by the new and living way in Jesus Christ. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.